Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 25th of January, 2021. And a bit of a wobbly session on Friday in the US, but managed to sort of scrape back towards, not bounce solidly, if not scrape back towards the highs of the day. And then we're seeing new record highs, at least in the NASDAQ. And you can see on slide one on the S&P 500, sorry, slide two, slide one is the title page for today's slide deck, that the S&P is still in this very tight channel and dribbling higher. As we're approaching the, I guess, the heart of the earnings season, Peter, coming up here, and that's what your focus is on the next slide. It's a really big week with some of these mega caps reporting this week.
Yeah, it is. But you could also argue that we're starting the week on a very strong note. So we have the NASDAQ 100 futures at an all-time high. So as we speak, so I would assume that sentiment is very strong. We also had a pretty good earnings season week last week. Generally, the upside surprise ratio to earnings have been close to 90%. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Today, so this week, we really shift gear and we move into what we call the mega cap space. So the number of stocks in the top 50 of the S&P 500 will report. And we don't have any earnings today, but already tomorrow we'll have Microsoft and NextEra Energy and LVMH in Europe. But then Wednesday is the big day, so that's Apple, Tesla, and Facebook, and you could also say Boeing, but that's mostly just for the aviation industry. And I think Tesla will be the most interesting earnings to watch. I've highlighted other earnings there in red. You can see I also have updated the quarterly EPS numbers for this. So the little uptick you see there on the chart to the left is the ongoing Q4 earnings season. I think those lines, both the orange for the S&P 500 and the blue for the MSCI World, will climb a little bit higher than from the current levels as we get more earnings releases incoming. So things are definitely improving. But moving to the next slide, on slide four, as I said, Tesla will be the highlight of the earnings season. It's the most impressive run-up in one of the major cap stocks lately. It was included in the S&P 500 in December, with much consideration by the MSCI. The S&P Index Committee. The big question is, how sustainable are Tesla's earnings? A lot of it is driven by tax credits in the US. So we'll see. And we did an article recently, which you can see I have put in the link. It's 2 weeks ago, where we highlighted November sales figures in Europe. And we just put out there that, it's interesting to see that Tesla Model 3 is not the best selling car in Europe, and actually that it's losing ground to Hyundai and Volkswagen, and definitely Renault, which its Zoe model is really, really selling a lot in Europe. And on Friday, we also put out a cautious note on the whole Tesla Bitcoin ARK triangle, where we highlighted that there's a lot of correlated trades there. So if any one of those three components there break down, it could actually take the other components down. So a lot of focus on Tesla.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting over the weekend as well. We saw Bitcoin sort of stabilizing and trying to rise back toward the highs before the weekend. But Ethereum making new strides and actually posting a record high overnight. But record high overnight, that's not what we saw in the grain market. Well, we've got a huge weekly correction after quite an impressive advance over the last, 6 weeks plus in grains. I guess that's the main focus in commodity markets here.
It is, John, and it's really the main market that's been on the move now since last week. The weakness we saw across the grain sector last week, as I highlighted on slide nine, was basically the worst week since 2016. And it comes, as you say, we had a very, very strong run-up in prices since August. Corn, soybeans up more than 50%. The speculative length during that time had increased on a continuous basis to the point that we entered the year with a record long. So on that basis, as it is with these markets, it only took a change either in the fundamental or the technical outlook. And this time around, it was the fundamental, because we started to see rainfall in South America, thereby reducing some of the worries about low stock levels into the coming year. It's just taking the top out of the market. I think it was probably in need of a correction. The question is whether it is a correction or it's a reversal. I think for now it is only a correction, because underlying underlying support is there. We know that Russia is implementing export taxes on his wheat in order to try to curb prices. They're obviously now being helped by this weakness elsewhere. But overall, probably a long overdue correction. And as it is with grains, when they correct, they can correct quite violently due to the size of the positions and the liquidity in the market.
Yeah, and then I see on your crude oil slide, I was just pulling that up. It just amazes me how you've got that great total oil inventory thing there on the right, showing we're at the very highs of the inventory, and that's not stopped the market. I mean, we're going sideways here, but it hasn't stopped the market from rallying to where it's at now.
No, the market is oil market is has stayed very resilient this month of through most part of this month. We did have an attempt to the downside on Friday, 54.50. Once again provided the support that that's the recent lows, and we traded back above 55 to today. Some of the weakness on Friday was driven by the delayed numbers coming out of the US, where inventories rose against expectations for a drop. That was obviously negative, but at the same time, there was a small pickup in both the consumption of gasoline and diesel, and the market took that as on a positive note. So the next month now is going to be very interesting, because obviously we are starting to see potentially the vaccines slowly having an impact, but at the same time, we're still facing lockdowns across the world, and I think the market, particularly when it comes to energy, will keep a close eye on China, whether they manage to contain these outbreaks we saw recently, or whether there's additional lockdowns, because obviously that could be could have a negative impact on the prices, but very resilient.
Yeah, and on the issue of lockdowns, there's a widely circulated New York Times article going out talking about that social distancing and masking measures need to remain in place at least through midsummer, even later, because if not, if we start to open up too quickly as the curve shifts downward, that it'll result in another blow up in the numbers before we get to improvement further out. So it's just the prospect of that is a bit less positive. But if you look at something more positive, and you can see that on slide 8, there's a story about Israel seeing a 60% drop in hospitalizations for its age 60 plus cohort, which I assume were the first ones to get, of course, the first shot. And this is after their first shot. And we're talking about only 3 weeks. And you can see on the right how quickly their vaccination has proceeded. But if you wind back the clock 3 weeks, the number that were vaccinated was much, much lower. So that level there on the chart on slide 8, that's based on a Bloomberg link there, does not show the total number of people that have been given one dose. It's some people have received two doses. So it's still under 30% for the broader population that have either received one or two doses. But you get a sense of how quickly it could kick in this. But as you can see from the other countries there, there's still a lot of work to be done to get the percentages up to a level that makes a difference. So we'll be watching that closely, of course, as well as the risk of these new strains spreading more quickly. And in FX, not a whole lot going on. We had the one thing I remarked about last week was that we had conditions that were just about as supportive as possible for dollar bears. And we did see a weaker dollar, but the scale of that weakness was a bit modest, I think, relative to the background conditions. Very strong risk appetite. You had U.S. Treasuries very sidelined and not going anywhere in terms of yield, which I think is necessary to sort of keep a lid on the dollar as well. So back to sort of midway where we were from the drawdown. For example, in Eurodollar, you can see on slide 6, we've established a low, and that is the key pivot for maintaining upside focus. But the impulsivity higher, given the backdrop, is a little bit disappointing. Let's see what happens next. The 122 area is the next hurdle here, 21-day moving average, and there's another retracement up around 122.35. I think if we're, a nice smart rally bar would be helpful for establishing the upside trend again. And we have some key event risks. I'll be talking about that with the macro calendar this week. Stimulus, the status of the stimulus, and otherwise. So we'll be watching that. And now what I wanted to point out today on slide 7 is the key story driving the dollar. You can see on the left chart, which is a yield spread, Euro-US yield spread at 10-year. And I also put up a short-term 30-month short-term interest rate spread. So you can do that in those short-term interest rate futures markets. Have been trending the wrong way for euro-dollar bulls, so dollar bears. in recent weeks, because we're seeing the market trying to suss out when the Fed might eventually start to raise rates as well. The longer US rates are going higher, whereas they're stable and flat in Europe. So that fundamental is moving against euro dollar going higher. And you can see how this mistake was made in early 2018 as well. It didn't support the euro dollar rally at that time. However, on the right, you see the key story that is driving the ability of euro dollar to get here, and that is the anticipation that U.S. inflation will rapidly lurch higher relative to here, in the case of this chart, German inflation. So that's the break-even spread, which has continued to go higher and supports this move. And the key will be in coming months to see if that inflation in the U.S. actually, in relative terms, materializes. So that's the fundamental story driving the dollar lower. And then finally, and very briefly, watching euros during this week, it sort of disappointed last week for those trying to go long sterling and backing up into the range. But it wasn't a full reversal, and we're watching that very pivotal sub 89 levels there for a follow through in sterling. There was a call between Joe Biden and Boris Johnson, and that call was reported by the U.S. side as not having, or they didn't report anything about trade being discussed, but the U.K. side said that a trade deal had been discussed during the call. And besides all those earnings we have this week, a very busy week as well on the macro calendar. We have an FOMC meeting on Wednesday. Not sure there's a lot on the agenda. I'll talk more about that tomorrow and on Wednesday itself, after we had all the back and forth about whether we're going to see any tapering or messaging about tapering. And then the Q4 GDP estimate, and then PCE inflation on Friday. But as well, we have a call as early as today between a bipartisan group of senators in the U.S. with Joe Biden. We'll be looking very closely for signals from that on the status of the stimulus bill. It does look like it may be tough for Biden to get that full $1.9 trillion. It may have to get split up. And you know, especially the bits with minimum wage and other more controversial for the broader picture and for the broader, sorry, the whole across the political spectrum. These are issues that are going to be very hard for progress through the Senate when some of them require a 60 vote majority, not a 51 vote majority. That's a key point, and we'll be watching that. For now, I think we'll call it a day. We'll see where things stand tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call. For today, thanks for joining.